Welcome to Small City, Big Stories, the podcast celebrating the people and projects driving downtown North Adams forward.
Hey everyone, welcome to Small City, Big Stories, brought to you by the North Adams Partnership. I'm your host, Jenny Wright, Executive Director of the North Adams Partnership. Each episode, we celebrate the people and projects driving downtown North Adams forward. And today, we're joined by Matt Alkenbright, a North Adams native and executive director of the Berkshire Food Project. So glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I think we've had four episodes so far, and I think you're the first North Adams native that we've had on the show.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm honored.
So what was that like? What were some formative memories that you have about growing up in North Adams?
Community was always one. The community has ever evolved but never changed, if that's a way to put it. This community has always been one of support and in kindness and in close-knit feelings, I would say, or just relationships. And I remember as a child just forging those relationships, walking down Main Street with my grandparents on bank day. It was, you go to the bank, then you go across the street to Kmart, going to city council meetings with my grandfather, who was a city councilor for a long time, or just in the schools and seeing everybody you know in various avenues of life. And everybody just seemed kind of part of the family as a community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought up the theme of community, because we're definitely going to get back to that. But I have spent a little time on the Berkshire Food Project's website, and I read your bio, and you have such an interesting history. And I would love to hear, walk us through your journey. I am assuming that it's not a straight line between Drury High School and present day, but I would love to hear more about how you got to where you are.
Yeah, it's not a straight line by any means. I don't even know if it's a full circle or a winding path. But so when I left Drury, I entered UMass Amherst as a music education and music performance student, having been so involved in the music departments in the public schools in North Adams.
What was the instrument that you focused on?
I was a piano performance major. Okay. Having studied piano, starting with Ann Kane, my first grade teacher at Sullivan School, and then studying with Jane Jenkins, a Williamstown resident, and Carl Jenkins, her husband, was the band director at Drury High School. Oh, wow. I played tuba in the Drury Band, and so when I entered UMass, I entered as a piano major, but I also studied tuba at that time, doing music education, but my primary instrument was piano. And certainly as a pianist, and being active in the my church world, having gone with my family to Notre Dame and Holy Family Church in town, I became a church organist when I was 13 years old. And so that was always a very big part of our lives, not just the music part, but being in the church community as well, was always a big part. And being at the Cody Center, which is, the former St. Francis Convent, which then became Walgreens, which is now, I think, up for sale. But that's where it was housed, and we were always very active there as kids, and where I forged some of my great friendships, which I still have continued today on my Facebook group chat that is probably buzzing my phone right now, that we all stay in contact still. And so as a church musician, I kept that going in college, became the music director for the Newman Catholic Center at the UMass Amherst campus, as well as other Catholic churches in that Amherst area. So during that time of music studies, I was also figuring out what's next in my life. And that sense of faith drew me to considering priesthood. And I entered the seminary. I studied at St. John's in Brighton, Boston, near the Boston College campus for 6 years. And then I was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Springfield in 2012. And then I was a parish priest and continued my music just playing and for various things, but became a parish priest in 2012 and served as a pastor in Springfield, an associate pastor in West Springfield, and then as a pastor in Westfield, before making one of the harder decisions of my life, and which was to take a leave of absence for a lot of different personal things, but also my grandmother at the time was in need of some home care. And so figuring out what that looked like for me. And so I came home and I moved in with my grandmother in her duplex home and began taking care of her. And in that same time, I was thinking, what do I do now for work? And certainly human service was always at the heart of that, you know, being a pastor, being a musician, touching the human soul, touching the human heart and human lives. And so I applied to the Breen Center. And I interviewed in Breen Center, took me on as the Assistant Program Director of Residential Services, opening up Keenan House North here in North Adams. It's a dual diagnosis home for co-ed people with not only substance use history, but also a mental health disorder. So I opened that home and then became Program Director of Residential Services for Breen. And I spent 5 years with them. And then it was time for another change, but it was, again, at the heart of human service and again, keeping in line with touching humans where they're at each and every single day and being very community-oriented. And I loved coming back home. As hard as it was, I loved it. It was home immediately when I came back. And I saw the position open for the Berkshire Food Project. And I had known what the Berkshire Food Project did. I had known about them because they've been around for almost as long as I've been alive. But I decided to take a chance, put in the application, met with the board, and here I am 8 months later, almost to the day, tomorrow.
Well, I'm really looking forward to digging in more on that, but I did want to just go back to your childhood. And I can relate to a piece of that. I studied classical piano when I was a kid for many years, but my mom was the organist at our church. I was raised Brethren, which is an Anabaptist sect. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was the coolest thing. We had an organ in our house so she could practice in advance of every Sunday, and she would play melodies with her hands and with her feet.
Yes.
And there is nothing cooler than having a mom who can play the organ with her feet. No other kid that I knew had that. And I was just so, so proud of that. But yeah, there really is and always has been. I'm not religious now, but there's always a sense of peace and grounding when I enter a church. I mean, just going back to that idea that you talked about community and meeting people where they are. I think just that nostalgia for childhood, but also just the purpose of those buildings is to help people find peace. And I've always really appreciated that. But I really would love to hear more about the food project. Sure. I have had the most delicious chicken chili there, among many other things. But tell us all about it.
Yeah. I came to the Berkshire Food Project on September 4th, 2025. Just the other day. It was literally 8 months ago. And who could have known that in 1 month's time after September 4th, going into October, when we saw all the complications and SNAP benefits being shut off for a bit, and that we would see 117% increase in service in 1 month at the food project. And so for people who don't know the food project, what we do is we serve a no cost, no questions asked, homemade from scratch lunch Monday through Friday from 11:30 to 1 at the First Congregational Church in North Adams. This was an effort started 40 years ago, almost to the day, and by Williams College students in conjunction with the pastor at the time, Elizabeth Wheeler, at the First Congregational Church, to offer a meatless meal a couple days a week. And fast forward 40 years, and we're doing it Monday through Friday. The food project over these past few months since I've been there has seen just this unprecedented time in human history and in our nation's history and our state's history and our community's history, and especially North Berkshire, which is statistically pretty impoverished and struggles with food security. But also we exist at Berkshire Food Project to combat social isolation, to make sure people have a space, have a welcoming place where they can just be. And they can feel welcome no matter what. So we've seen that increase in service through those complications of SNAP. Those kind of went down after SNAP was turned back on. But now with all these uncertainties, and certainly now in today's world, as we sit with the cost of gas, the cost of groceries, the cost of everything, we've seen those numbers creep up back to the October yet again. So we are on a wild roller coaster. What we do continue to do, and what I keep saying to people, is we'll just be there. We'll just be there to continue to put out some of, in my opinion, some of the best food North Adams has to offer, except we just don't have an extensive menu. We have what we offer that day and a vegetarian option, that's what we have that day. But you can be sure that it's home-cooked. It is prepared that day from scratch, and most of it, especially now that we get into the fun months of summer and the fall, it's going to be a lot of farm-to-table. And even through the winter, it's farm-to-table from all of our farm friends, Caretaker Farm, Fullwell Farm, various Jen Munoz with the garden clubs, you know, the different local gardens. And we take all that produce and they donate it to us. And we just look at it that day and we make something, you know, so it's fantastic fresh food.
Absolutely, and I can vouch for the fact that it is extraordinarily delicious.
I ate with you that day.
I know. I remember. I think I had seconds, actually. But I do want to just be clear to our listeners. I mean, when I learned about the Food Project, I thought, what a great initiative. And then I kind of stopped there. But then a friend of mine said, oh, we should go have lunch at the Food Project. And in my mind, I thought, well, is that for me? Is that I don't want to take resources from someone? It's for everyone. It is just the best place to sit and have a great conversation, get to meet your neighbors. You're in the heart of the community. Mm-hmm. It's such a good way to join that community. And what better way to do it than over great food? Right. It is truly for everyone. And what I would say to people who have the ability, think about what you would spend on groceries or on takeout or, you know, just pulling something together that might not be all that good for you during any given week when you're busy. Go to the Food Project, sit and have a great meal and make a donation. Just what is that cost? And just, you know, go to their website and make a donation. And again, there's no downside, and it's just such a great way to meet your neighbors. And I think, you know, we're all so stretched so thin, we're all in front of screens all the time. It's right there in the middle of downtown.
Right. And what we find at, when you mention the screens thing, and you know, that I've been amazed at the amount of people not on a screen when they're in our dining room, and it's fantastic. Whether you're talking to a friend or being nosy at the person next to you, which is more my speed, of course, naturally some people are, but I find a lot of people are just there to chat. Or just there to be seen and be heard or be, you know, have that experience. As we not only combat the food security, again, we combat social isolation. So again, it's for a place for people just to come, just to be. It's that safe, welcoming spot where we have many people who say this is the best part of their day. As you said, I'm glad you said it, I hope nobody feels that they're going to be taking away from somebody else, because we exist for anybody. I don't care if you have $1 million. I don't care if you have $0. I don't care who you are. I care that you're there and that you come to us to eat.
Absolutely. And social isolation is real for all of us.
Everybody.
Everybody is experiencing some amount of that in their lives. And so, yeah, it's just an incredible community resource. And so I wanted to back up a little bit. You lived in Boston for a while when you were in school and came back to North Adams. And I'm curious to know, did you notice changes in the city that you grew up in as a child, being away for a while and then coming back as an adult? What kind of differences or what struck you coming back?
Yes and no. Yes, the city has changed. Certainly, you know, the downtown looks great right now. You know, new businesses and new life and art spaces, and you know, that's all cool. When I was a kid, a lot of it was you know, closed up or struggling. And I remember Newberry's, I remember Robert's Company, I remember those places. And those very quickly, as I went into middle school and stuff, closed up. And so it became kind of like a desolate downtown. And over time, certainly, that's it's ebbed and flowed, you know, but now I come back and I see it in a changed way, which is really cool and fun. So you see, I see a lot of positive change in this community. What I see that hasn't changed is also positive is the sense of community. You know, I think sometimes small towns can get bad raps for nothing to do and nothing, you know, it's not true here. It's just, I love it here. And, you know, my older sister moved back here and she loves it here. And my whole family is here and there's always stuff to do. And there's usually times when, you know, somebody will shoot a text and, hey, you want to meet here? Or, you want to do this? And I'm kind of like, I'm to-do'd out. So like, no, I want to stay home for a little bit, you know, type of thing. So So yes, it's changed because the landscape has changed. I think in a positive way, it's found itself again, and it's continuing to find itself as a community, with a lot of these new businesses, new opportunities, the art spaces, all that kind of thing. But also the thing that hasn't changed, I really feel, is that strong sense of community. And I've noticed that with the food project. If we make any ask, if we make any, you know, we need help with this, or, you know, we could use X, Y, and Z, it just shows up. It just appears out of nowhere. Or they'll say, hey, some person just threw a bag in the door, and it's like, you know, two huge things of olive oil that we put out of, you know, an all call, like, hey, we need some help. And great, you know, the community's here. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed.
What's so interesting to me, again, being very new to North Adams, this is the fifth episode of this podcast, and like I said, folks that I've spoken to haven't been from here, and yet I always ask that question, is that what brought you here, what keeps you here? Without exception, the number one answer is the community. It's always the community. You know, it's not I fell in love with this house or I fell in love with this whatever. It's the sense of community that people find here. And so I'm curious to know, both as someone who grew up, went away, came back, how do you describe North Adams to people who don't live here? How would you describe North Adams to someone who hasn't been here? Because one of the goals of this podcast, I think, or maybe just selfishly, is to try to develop that vocabulary. I think to your point with small towns, and I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania that has a similar history to North Adams, it's easy to have the muscle memory and the vocabulary to talk about the job loss and all of the sort of decline that might have happened over the last several decades. We inherit those narratives. What's interesting to me is picking up words that people use to describe what they love about it today. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really interested to hear from you. You know, how would you describe your city to someone who's never been here?
It's home. You know, home is a place where some of those bad narratives and stuff foster themselves in the struggles. Sure. And those are all real, a part of it. But home is also a place where you can feel part of, you can feel loved, you can feel supported. You know, hopefully that's home, I should say, for people. And so that's what I think of North Adams as. It's home. It has its struggles. It has its stories. It has its not bright moments. And
as does
every home you walk into. But at the same time, when you walk in, you know, and you go home, you know all that's there. But at the end of the day, you can take a sigh of relief because it's home. You know, and so that's what North Adams is. It's a place where struggles and, you know, insecurities and all that stuff aren't unnoticed or unfelt, but it's also a place that those things are also wrapped in a community of support and a community where you know people have your back, where you know that you can reach. All you have to do is kind of look across the aisle at like Walmart and see somebody that you needed to see that day for whatever reason. You just needed to see them. That's North Adams is that kind of a community because it's also so small, you know, in a sense. It's just you just, you know, you're having a stressful day and all of a sudden you run into that one person that you needed to see that day. That's North Adams.
Yeah, I agree. And there is a really interesting phenomenon that I have seen In fact, just the other day, we held a small business event at the BIC over on Massamoka's campus. And there was a member of MCLA's senior staff and a local resident, recent transplant, I think moved here in 21 or 22. They bumped into each other at that small business event and realized that they had gone to college together in Connecticut like 25 years ago. And it was just completely unsurprising in a strange way. There is a sort of gravitational pull that this place has to really curious, creative, smart, caring people. Mm-hmm. And it never surprises me to encounter situations like that.
I love the fact that, you know, I grew up at a, well, grew up at a time, but grew up in North Adams, which is small. And it's always that thought of in high school, I got to get out of here. I got to get out, you know, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
That's our job as teenagers.
And guess who I run into? All my high school classmates. Like we see each other and we're like, oh, you're still here? Oh, you made it back? You know, so that there's that, there is that pull. Mm-hmm. People find their way back here. Right. And it's not just because it's because this is home.
Is there a specific experience or something that you can point to that really drove that home for you as an adult after you got that out of your system of I have to get out, I'm going to go spread my wings? Was there something really that made it feel like, yeah, this is it, this is home?
I think it's when I did come home from when I made a decision to take a leave of absence from parish ministry. And it's kind of like, you know, an overhaul of life, and you don't know what's next. You're like, you know, what do I do now type of thing. And so I came home and I did come home to take care of my grandmother and to, you know, assist her in her final years of life. But what I would say is there was an apprehension too of like, you know, I came back and now like what's, again, when I came home, it's like time never stopped from when I was in college or high school. It was like I saw the same people or similar people or some of the same people, and they were just as supportive, just as loving, just as like, hey, what can I do? What, you know, how can I help? Or, sure, you know, how you doing? Okay. You know, what's going on? You know, and things like that. So it was that constant support. I think that, yeah, that was a big transformative piece of my life. And coming back to North Adams, I think made that possible, the confidence that I needed to, and for lack of a better word, in a vulnerable time in my life, mm-hmm. it was the people of this community that gave me kind of that comfort to just be like, I can do it, no problem. You know, I can pick up.
Sure.
I can figure it out.
Yeah, because I could see that kind of return maybe feeling like a failure or like I didn't do what I set out to do, and now, right, you know, but that.
And it was never met with that. It was just like, hey, sure, I heard you're back. Hey, you know, how you doing? Hey, you know, what led you to this? You know, or, you know, those kind of conversations, but it was all in support. It was so cool. Yeah.
So I know, so this is being recorded. What is today? May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have a big event coming up tomorrow,
yep,
that we can talk about, which our listeners will hear about in the past. I'd love to hear about that. And what's next for the food project? What are your goals?
Yeah. So tomorrow we'll celebrate our second annual, and I'll say that in air quotes, because the last one we held was exactly 8 months ago tomorrow. On September 8th, we held, was my fourth day as the executive director.
Oh, wow.
We held Super Bite 2025, and now we'll hold Super Bite 2026, would now become an early spring annual fundraiser. And that showcases all our local chef friends. And again, what a community that
so
supports.
Many incredible chef friends.
Incredible. These are chefs. I wish I had the list, but you know, Casita, Mariah, who owns Casita, is on our board. Casita, Torres, Meze, Umo Tesoro, Freight Yard, Trail House.
The list goes
Brava,
on.
Cello, yeah, from Lennox. The list goes on. That's and fantastic. Tourists, you know, and so they close basically the restaurants or sacrifice part of their service of the restaurants on a Friday night to come and volunteer and serve out a, quote, super bite, which is like a small tasting from their kitchen, from what they make, and people can vote on it. It's kind of like a chop-style competition. Every chef is a winner, first of all.
And so are all the attendees.
And so are all the attendees.
I'm going to be one tomorrow.
Oh, great.
I'm not going to eat all day because I'm
going to have please do.
Two of everything.
All the attendees. And so all the proceeds of this, because of the generosity of the chefs, providing all this stuff on our behalf, all of the proceeds go directly into the mouths, into the bellies, into the hearts and souls of this community that we feed, get to feed every Monday through Friday. So we are really looking forward to that event. We've sold quite a few more tickets this year than last year, so this is really gaining some momentum. We have a curated auction, which is up to almost 40 items, from basic kind of gift certificates type of stuff you'd see on auctions to paintings that are worth thousands of dollars that are going to be out there, an overnight stay at Canyon Ranch, those kind of things. So it's, and so what does that mean for the future? Well, these funds and any other funds raised is we're looking for a bigger space, in the space that we're in. We're working hard with our good friends at the First Congregational Church who have been our friends for 40 years and who are going to continue to be our friends. This is our home and they treat us as home. I think that's the word of the day here is home.
Home and community.
Yeah.
I just keep seeing how people are showing up in different ways again and again throughout everything that you're saying. And it just reinforces how extraordinary this place really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you want people to know about the Food Project? You have a recording studio here, a captive audience. We're going to share this, but I would love it if you could use this as an opportunity.
Sure.
Say, what do you need? What are you hoping people can help with?
First and foremost, we want you to come. We want you to see what you saw and what you experienced. Not only good food, but we want you to just I want you to come and just experience the Berkshire Food Project at its finest. We rely on our heartbeat is the volunteers. Those volunteers have over 70 volunteers. We have a wait list of volunteers right now who cook, clean, serve. They are the lights in these people's lives. And so the guests who come to us are the light of their life every time they meet them. There's not a person who goes through that line that isn't even grimacy at the front, and by the time they're at the dessert table, they are laughing, or something. So first, come. Please come. Second, we'd love for you to donate or consider making a Berkshire Food Project part of your annual contributions. We are small grassroots. 67% of our budget each year relies on donors, which is huge. A third, you can look at our website. We have an essential needs list, things that we routinely need on hand.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to be launching tomorrow at Superbite. We'll have the QR codes, and then it'll go out on our social medias that we have a registry on Walmart, like a baby registry, and you can go in. If you're in California listening to this, you can go right on Find Berkshire Food Project on our website, find our registry, and whatever we need, you'll see it. You can purchase that, and it will get shipped directly to us. You don't have to do it yourself.
That is so smart. Oh my gosh, you guys have cracked the code.
Yeah. So those are, I think, the three top things. But again, I keep going back to that first. If you are local, if you're in town, if you're visiting, find the Berkshire Food Project. We are there Monday through Friday. It's not hard to find us. We're that big church at the top of Main Street on the right. And we are open and come and experience it, because if you want to get to know North Adams, come to the Food Project.
Absolutely.
The community's there.
And it's a beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a level playing field. You can come, have a great meal, talk to your neighbors, and you're part of a community. Thank you so much for being here.
This was a fantastic
conversation. I'm just so impressed with everything you're doing and so proud to be part of a community where the Food Project is doing what it's doing. And like I said, to anyone who's listening, stop by and have lunch. Maybe I'll see you there. It was great to talk to you, Matt.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Small City Big Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share it with a friend, and join us next time as we continue telling the stories of community, creativity, and resilience in North Adams.